Well, the Mississippi River has shaped the history of our state and our neighbor's state in so many ways, and it's great to have a chance to talk about the river itself, what it has to offer, and the area. And we have a couple of guests to do that. Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, dedicated to exploring the Mississippi from the Twin Cities to the Quad Cities. Reggie, with us in our La Crosse studios. Reggie, are you there?
I am, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Dean Klinkenberg is the author of a new travel book. It's called The Driftless Area Guide. It's the third in the Mississippi Valley Traveler Guidebook series. And I have a copy of that book in front of me now. It's a really cool guidebook. Dean, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell you what, we'll be talking, obviously, about the area. We'll talk about that guide that Dean's put together. Maybe you live in the Driftless area. What sites and activities would you recommend? What about restaurants and bed and breakfasts? or maybe you're planning to visit that area. We'd certainly love to hear questions that you might have about the area. So give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And guys, we just finished a program about craft beers. And Reggie, one of the beers that I have in front of me yet is a Potosi Snake Hollow India Pale Ale. And you have an article in your July-August issue, about the Potosi Brewery.
I do, and you're making me thirsty, Larry. That's a disadvantage of being at a remote studio here in La Crosse. Yeah, the Potosi Brewery is really a great place. It's beautiful, historic building that's been well restored, and they have great beer and great food and an outdoor terrace, and it's a good place to visit in the summer.
Yeah, it's a really nice piece with some nice photography. I was noticing the bar there was that's a handcrafted bar that looks just wonderful, and the food apparently is great.
Oh yeah, it's a big circular wooden bar that was all handcrafted, and the food is great, and it's got a tall ceiling and nice windows out onto the street of Potosi, and it's a very comfortable place. In fact, it's nice in the winter too. I shouldn't just limit it to the summer. They get pretty busy even in the winter. I was there on a Saturday night in February, and they were seating people in part of the museum because the dining room was full. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Big River Magazine covers the Mississippi from the Twin Cities to the Quad Cities, which means it touches on four states. Reggie, do you see a common culture along the river that maybe supersedes state boundaries?
Oh, certainly, and that's why Dean's book is interesting, too. It's the Driftless region. Really, the area that we cover just goes a little bit downriver from the southern boundary of the Driftless area and a little bit north of the northern boundary of the Driftless area. So not only does that area have the river in common, but it also has that topography with the steep, rocky bluffs and deep valleys and overlooks and all of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dean, this is your third travel guide for the Upper Mississippi. What fascinates you about this region?
Well, I think it's been such an important natural feature in the development of our country, and well, even long before we got here, it's been such an important force in the lives of people in North America. I've lived next to the Mississippi since I was about 18, since I came to La Crosse for college, and I think that's really when I started to get hooked on the history and lore of the Mississippi. And, of course, I had a head start having read some Mark Twain before I came here. But I think I've just kind of got sucked into the mystique and the lore of the river.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the book here briefly, and then I want to get to Jim and Amro. Jim, hang on there. So the book covers pretty nice area, and maybe you can talk about how you've got it organized.
All right. Well, I've tried to be really comprehensive. It's one of my character flaws that I'm a little obsessive with my attention to detail. So in the book, you'll find a pretty good description of local and regional history, and then recommendations about things to do and see and where to eat and where to stay. And I really try to go out of my way to highlight independently run businesses, so the mom and pop operations, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And the best known attraction in the Driftless area in your mind, what's probably the best one? I could ask both of you guys that, Dean. Yeah, best known, let's put it that way.
Aside from the river itself?
Yeah.
Well, there are a couple of places that do get a fair amount of attention. I think the National Eagle Center, probably in Wabasha, gets a little bit of attention. But the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium in Dubuque is a Smithsonian affiliate, and I think that certainly gets a lot of national attention as well. What do you think, Reggie?
Well, it would be hard for me to pick just one. They're like my children, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
I really like the overlooks, especially in the summer and fall. There's Granddad's Bluff in La Crosse, which I think is closed now, actually, but Buena Vista above Alma, Wisconsin, at over in McGregor, up at Pikes Peak State Park, has wonderful overlooks, and you can look across the river to Wyalusing State Park in Wisconsin, and that also has beautiful overlooks. I think that's the single thing that I enjoy most are the overlooks.
Yeah, the overlooks are beautiful. Well, Jim and Amro, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love the Driftless area. My son goes to school in La Crosse, and a couple weeks ago, my wife and I went to Minnesota to the Root River bike trail, and we were very surprised when there was a big rattlesnake that was laying in the trail, and I was interested in what was kind of snake do you think that was, and how many rattlesnakes are in that area?
Well, I'm really interested in rattlesnakes, and I don't think anyone has died from a rattlesnake bite in Minnesota since the 1860s, actually. So even though people are afraid of them, they're not really that dangerous. And a lot of times they'll crawl out on a warm asphalt or on a road right after a big thunderstorm because they get cold from the water and they're looking for a warm place to kind of warm up again. But there's a lot of them in those rocky bluffs, and it used to be that there was a bounty on them and they were people were trying to exterminate them. But we've kind of come to appreciate them more, and they're not only left alone, but they're kind of protected in places as well. And they're not too dangerous. You don't want to step on one, but that's about the only way you're going to get bit is if you step on one. And if you have it treated quickly, it's unlikely to do much damage.
Hmm. There you go.
So, Reggie, would you say it's fair, too, that it's not that common to actually see a rattlesnake out there? I mean, I've hiked a lot of the bluffs and I've never come across a rattlesnake.
I would guess that most people who have lived their entire lives out here have never been lucky enough to see a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Well, then we were pretty lucky.
You were.
You were lucky you didn't step on it, too.
You didn't ride your bike over it.
No, it was huge. It was right across there. It was unbelievable. It was like 5 feet long, and it was huge. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org, talking about river fun, highlighting the Driftless region today with Reggie McLeod of Big River Magazine and Dean Klinkenberg, who has a new book out, The Travel Guide Driftless Area. It's the third in the Mississippi Valley Traveler Guidebook series. So give us a call with your questions or with your comments. I wonder, I asked you about what's probably the best known attraction in the Driftless area. What would be the best-kept secret, in your opinion, Dean and Reggie? Dean, maybe start with you.
Well, I think, one of the best-kept secrets is probably the Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge. It doesn't seem to attract a lot of visitors. Last summer, I had the good fortune of going there a couple of times on a beautiful weekend night, and I had the entire refuge to myself. There were no people at all around there. It's a very quiet setting. It's unique in that it's not right next to the railroad tracks like you often find for public places along the Mississippi. And you're a little bit removed from the highway, too, so you don't really get a lot of train and auto noise. And it's a great place for birding and wildlife. I think that's a very underappreciated place.
Oh, excellent. Reggie?
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I often bike through the Trempealeau Refuge when I bike from Winona to Trempealeau. But I'd also add paddling the backwaters is really wonderful, and there are just so many thousands of acres of backwaters that are just beautiful, and they have very little pressure, very few paddlers, and you can have those places almost to yourself. There are marked canoe trails downriver from Trempealeau and at Wyalusing State Park and at a number of locations, and it's wonderful. There are places where you can rent canoes and kayaks as well. It makes it pretty easy to explore those places.
And the marked trails are really pretty cool. I mean, it's great to have a mark.
They are, because the backwaters are kind of maze-like. And
yes.
It's good to have, even if you're on a marked trail, it's not a bad idea to have a map with you as backup, because those little tiny blue signs can be kind of tough to find in the middle of summer sometimes.
Judy in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Well, I was just calling in. I just tuned in like 5 minutes ago, and I just wanted to tell you that two of my closest friends over 35 years and I are renting a houseboat out of Alma next Sunday to celebrate my 60th birthday, and we're going to be floating down the Mississippi River. We've never done anything like this before, and we found it on the internet, and we're just going to do it for an adventure. And I was just curious as to whether you knew anybody that had done that and whether you had any advice for us.
Well, have you ever run a... Who's operating the boat, Judy?
Me. I am.
Okay.
Have you done it before?
No.
All right.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
No, they'll give you a real good Yeah, they'll give you a real good orientation, because they want to get that boat back.
Oh yeah, and I've boated before. I mean, I boat,
okay.
But I've just never rented a houseboat, and this is like a 52-foot long houseboat with
slides, you know, I'll bet.
It's 15 feet wide, and
sure.
So the three of us are going out on the boat just for something to do.
Something new to do. I tell you what.
Something new to do. You bet.
We are going. You keep listening, Judy, because we're going to come back and we'll have our guests make some comments about that houseboat. Maybe some of our listeners who have done it will also have some suggestions for you as we visit with Reggie McLeod and Dede Klinkenberg here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about the Mississippi River in the area today with Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine. It's dedicated to exploring the Mississippi from the Twin Cities to the Quad Cities. Dean Klinkenberg is the author of a new travel book, The Driftless Area Guide. It's the third in the Mississippi Valley Traveler Guide book series. Covers along the Mississippi River from Hastings, Minnesota to Lansing, Iowa. Great to have them along, and thank you so much for listening in. Lots of callers online right now, but I want to go back, guys, to Judy's question. Judy had a houseboat, or is going to be renting a houseboat for her 60th birthday, and she and friends are going down the Mississippi River. Any suggestions or advice for her, Reggie and Dean? Reggie?
Well, I think she's probably going to have a lot of fun. The river is a little high for this time of year still. It's on its fourth crest right now, but I think it'll start dropping in the next day or two, so hopefully it'll drop a little bit before she gets out there. But one thing that a lot of people don't know about the river is the stretch from Lake Pepin all the way down to the Quad Cities is a national wildlife refuge. And most of the land, most of those islands and beaches along there are public land. And you can camp out on those beaches or anchor on, you know, off those beaches and just hang out in most of those places. And so it's a wonderful resource. And that's why it's so popular with houseboaters. The locks and dams are something she'll have to learn to lock through if she hasn't before. But the key to any kind of boating when you're in a odd situation is just go really slow and think and pay attention. You'll be fine, because they get a lot of traffic through the locks in the summer, and it's pretty simple to do.
Mm-hmm.
Dean, did you have some things?
Dean?
Yeah, I guess one thing I would add about the camping on the islands, too, is it's probably a good idea to be able to identify poison ivy. Some of those islands are nothing but poison ivy at this point of the year. But as you're traveling downriver, too, I'm not sure how far you're planning on going, but most of the communities along the river will have courtesy docks, areas where you can tie up for a few hours or maybe even overnight, and that'll give you some time to walk around the towns a little bit. Of course, if you have a copy of the Driftless Guide with you, you may be able to pick out a couple of highlights you want to spend your time visiting. In Fountain City, just downriver from Alma, for example, you could stop and have a little bit of lefse and then walk up the hill a little bit and have some Guinness stew, so you can have a little multicultural experience right in Fountain City.
Yeah. Oh, and I thought of something I might add. We just came out with the 5th edition of the Little Tow Watcher's Guide, and that lists all the towboats you're likely to see on the river, plus a lot of information about towboats. And it's probably most popular with people with houseboats. We have a lot of people with houseboats that carry one of those around, and they write down when they spot a towboat.
And by the way, your website, Reggie, is what's your website? Big River Magazine. Is it BigRiverMagazine.com? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. So it's pretty easy to remember, just BigRiverMagazine.com. And we have Dean's books for sale there too. And I might mention that we've helped him with the books, and he's helped us with the magazine. He has an article in the current magazine about the River Museum in Dubuque, and we have the tow guide on our website as well as his 3 books, and we'll have his 4th book on there when it's done too. So
very cool. And we've got an email from a Shell Lake listener. My husband and I are planning a short trip with the grandkids the end of August. We plan to concentrate on southwest Wisconsin, some of the state's historical sites. Do you have any recommendations for sites of interest or a short river excursion in the Prairie du Chien area?
Mississippi River Explorer is a company that does excursions into the backwaters, kind of eco-tour excursions, and I believe there's also an operation in Cassville that does that as well. And there's a Stonefield in Cassville, which is a restored farming community from the 1800s. The Villa Louis and Prairie du Chien is really neat.
Also in Prairie du Chien, the Fort Crawford Museum is a recreation of an early 19th century fort that was built around the fur trading era, but it's got some really fun, odd exhibits because at one time it was a museum of medical history, so you can see some period medical instruments as well. And down in Cassville, that was the home of Nelson Dewey, who was the state's first governor. The Stonefield Estate was part of his estate at that when he lived there. So you can also visit the house, the second mansion that he built, and learn a little bit about Dewey.
Ron in Iowa County, let's go to you now. Ron, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hey, Larry, thanks for the program. My comment is I fish a lot from the Bad Axe River down to Lansing, and it's a really pretty area, and there's a really nice place to camp at Blackhawk County Park. And if people that want to do an inexpensive trip on the river, it's a really nice place to camp. It's right on the river.
Blackhawk Community Park?
County Park.
County Park, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's between Genoa and, DeSoto.
Victory.
Right, Victory, huh?
Yeah, it's right on the Straits of Victory down there. And I was reminded when you were talking about Castle, there's also a ferry that goes across the Mississippi down at Castle. But it's a wonderful area, and I think it's greatly underexplored by people. It's just get down there and enjoy it.
Comments, guys? Reggie?
Yeah, they just delivered the new ferry to Cassville a couple weeks ago. I was trying to hitch a ride along, but I didn't get to because of circumstances. But they've got a new ferry, and that's kind of a fun way to explore the river and kind of a shortcut between Cassville and Guttenberg. And there are a number of small county, the Blackhawk Park, there's Army Corps operates one there, and that might be underwater right now. I don't know. You might want to check. There's one across the river in Brownsville, too, which is a Houston County park at Wildcat Landing. And there's a number of state recreational areas and state natural wildlife areas and so on in there, too, to explore. It's really rich in natural resources along there.
It's an area really rich in history, too, is that's around that area, around the Bad Axe River, is where the Black Hawk War came to an end. And there are a lot of signs along the way that provide some of the history around there. There's some within the park itself. But if you're also in the mood for, since we just had a little bit of a discussion about beer, if you're in the mood for a really good beer, there's a small place in Victory, the Red Lion Pub, that is an English pub, and they have an amazing collection of microbrews, and they also serve curries and probably the best fish and chips you're going to get on this side of the state. So.
Ooh. So what's the name of the place again?
The Red Lion Pub.
The Red Lion Pub. Lion is like the animal.
Yes, in Victory.
Red Lion. I'm writing this down because I might check that out myself.
Yeah, I got that impression.
Kim and Avoca, let's go to you. Hi, Kim.
Hello, Larry. Thanks to you and your guests for a great program.
Thanks.
I would like to just bring up two books that are based in the Driftless area. The first one, which you featured on Chapter of the Day, The Land Remembers.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another great book called The Last River Rat. And that's another book that's a tremendous book about the Driftless area.
It is indeed.
I'm interested in reading.
It is indeed. And I interviewed the author.
Very good.
As a matter of fact, thanks. Comments, guys? Reggie?
Well, I was on a show with Kenny on your show once with Kenny, actually, too. And he writes for Big River Magazine on occasion as well. We just had a story by him on river otters a couple of months ago. And he's come out with several other books, and they're all excellent. If you enjoyed The Last River Rat, you'll enjoy the others as well.
Kenny just does a really great job of describing a lifestyle that we're probably not going to see again, or that is certainly diminishing. And he's very vivid, very great descriptions of what that was like. It's a good read.
And he talks a lot about those backwaters I was talking about, too. And the backwaters that he traps on, the Whitman backwaters, are one of the best, one of the most pristine. The other ones are the Reno backwaters, which are across from Genoa, that area that the former caller was just talking about. Those backwaters, I have heard stories of people getting lost in there for a couple of days. They get back in there, and it's hard to find your way back out. So bring some breadcrumbs or a long piece of yarn or something. But they're really fascinating places back there.
Thanks again, Kim. And Barbara in Wausau, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Barb.
Yes. Hi. I was just calling because listening to both your program before and this program. I grew up in New Orleans, so I have a particular affinity for the Mississippi River, and I now live in Wausau. And the week of the 4th of July, my husband and I took a trip over. We started out at La Crosse and did some biking along the Elroy Sparta Trail and then headed south to Dubuque, and then on down to Moline, and ended up in Hannibal, Missouri. And along the way, stopped at a couple of really great brew pubs, one in Dubuque, and I think it was called O'Kelly's Brew Pub, and the other one was in Moline, that is the Bent River Brewery. And so it was just a wonderful trip, because I just love the Mississippi, and biking along that area is so much fun.
It really is. And just to go along with that, Barbara, we had an email from Tim, I believe, for those who prefer to stay in the ground but enjoy the beauty of the river. The Mississippi River Trail is a bike route that travels the length of the river. And there's a MississippiRiverTrail.org shows you that route.
We might have to do that on our recumbent.
There you go. Thanks, Barb.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I appreciate it. Well, she's right, isn't she, Dean?
Absolutely. The Mississippi River Trail, a lot of that route follows the shoulders of highways and county roads, but there are some stretches that are dedicated bike paths, like the Great River Trail from La Crosse up to Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge in this area, and then down along the Quad Cities from on the Illinois side, there's a 72-mile stretch also. So that's a great way to experience the river, and I'm seeing more and more people now that are biking the entire river from the headwaters down to New Orleans.
Yeah, this person, Tim, had said, we just finished a three-state tour, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and have a color tour in October covering Iowa and Wisconsin along the river. So, yeah, great.
Yeah, I biked that stretch of trail from Savannah down to Rock Island, and that's probably one of the best biking experiences that I'm aware of. It's really good. And as the caller pointed out, there are some brew pubs on the route as well. Moline, I believe the one she was talking about in Moline is the Bent River Brew Pub, which is one of my favorite. They're like my children, Larry. I shouldn't have favorites, but I am very partial towards Bent River Brew Pub down there.
You can join in, too, by the way. We're going to go to Maggie in Oconomowoc next, but you can reach us with your questions or comments or maybe your favorite spot at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and post a comment there. And now let's turn to Maggie in Oconomowoc. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I'm just calling to let you know that we often go up by Nelson and Wabasha, and two of our most favorite places to go are the Nelson Cheese Factory and on Lake Pepin, the Harbor View, which is outstanding food.
Yeah. Guys, comments?
Well, the Harbor View is a very well-known restaurant. I know people will drive to Pepin just for the experience of eating there, and they'll plan on spending a night in one of the local motels so they can get a table there. It's a destination restaurant. They do seasonal local food, very well executed. You know, the other place in town, though, that I think people really need to explore is a smaller cafe called the Third Street Deli. Have you been there?
Yes, we have. But we're also now, there's also some like pizza place around that we haven't found yet. That's like back in the hills more.
There's more than one, actually. There's kind of a pizza trail, if you wanted to do it this way. There are a couple of farms that grow most of the ingredients for the pizzas, and then one night a week we'll have a pizza party.
Yes. So is there a spot we can find those? Is it on your website at all?
Reggie, is it there, or Dean? We lose you guys? Huh. Reggie, Dean? Wow. Seems like it feels like we lost our guests here. I don't know. I've got them on. I'm not hearing them. Maybe they're not hearing us. Well, stay listening, Maggie.
Okay.
And maybe we can get them back somehow. I'm not sure. Not sure why we're having problems. Anyway, we're talking with Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, dedicated to exploring the Mississippi from the Twin Cities to the Quad Cities. Also visiting today with Dean Klinkenberg, who is the author of a new travel book. We're talking about it too. It's called Travel Guide Driftless Area. And the subtitle, Along the Mississippi River from Hastings, Minnesota to Lansing, Iowa. So great to have both of them with us, and hopefully we'll be able to keep them here. Reggie, are you there now? Or Dean? Huh. Well, that's weird. Don't know what happened. Sometimes things happen here on the Ideas Network. Not very often. Usually we have a pretty good... pretty good connection with our La Crosse studios, so I'm not quite sure why it's not working. But you know what? We'll just continue on here and go to Christopher in Madison. Christopher, hi. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I really found a gem of a place in McGregor, Iowa. It's just across the bridge from Prairie Sheen,
mm-hmm.
and it's called the River Junction Clothing Company, and they do both men and women's clothing, and they're period pieces from the late 1800s, turn of the last century. I know a lot of films, films that do westerns buy their clothing from them, and I heard about it from Catfish Stevenson, a local musician here in Madison. I'm like, where do you get these clothing, you know, that are with suspenders and jackets? They actually sell old revolvers and women's clothes. They're sewn by Amish women in the valley, and it's
my goodness,
it's really a gem. And it's in McGregor. You can go climb Pike's Peak behind there and spend a day shopping in that little store.
That's the River Junction.
Yeah, it's called River Junction Trading Company, and they have things like riding jackets and tall leather boots. It's all for it's basically kind of interesting cowboy wear. There was another place up in Rockton, up in the Kickapoo Valley, that actually is called Wild Things, that actually makes fur hats and fur jackets. I know that it would be a unpopular place to go, but I always think of it as going back to the time of the French fur trappers. You have the same business going on today in Rockton at this little place called Wild Things. But those are two of my favorite places to visit for some interesting kind of shopping.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thanks, Christopher. Appreciate it very much. And let's see if we got Reggie. Dean, you back?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're here.
Oh, okay, good. We lost you there for a while.
Yeah, we had to go out for a quick beer.
What's the did you get our last caller's comments about River Junction? And then McGregor, are you there? Ah, we lost him again. I don't know what's going on here, but we're having some difficulties, and those things happen from time to time. Not very often here on the Ideas Network. We tend to run a pretty straightforward program here, and once in a while things will happen. I hope you'll just call in. Maybe you've got some good suggestions for places to go, or maybe you have a question I might be able to answer if we can't get back to Reggie and Dean here. I'm just not quite sure what happened. But give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. I've really enjoyed my time on the Mississippi River. It's been a lot of fun for me. I love the drive along the Mississippi, and an earlier caller said that they're biking in the fall. And I tell you, if you've never been to the Mississippi River area in the fall, during the fall color, from the Bluffs, it is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Well, Ron in Caledonia up with a comment. Ron, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just had some comments in regards to the Reno Bottoms area in Brownsville, Minnesota, which is 7 miles north of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've trapped and hunted down there. And just a couple things. There's a spillway between Reno and Genoa, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's about a 3-mile gravel road that goes over two spillways along the way, which would be a great place to do some biking or walking to see the river on one side and the bottoms on the south side. Also, in regards to canoeing in the upper Reno area, and you can get lost down there. Usually what happens is you might get cut off from an island or something. If you lose your way getting off the main channel of the Running Slough or Pickerel Slough, which are the two main waterways down through the bottoms. And then one other comment, there is a parkway, a designated parking area between Reno and Brownsville that has a small paved parking lot with which overlooks the river on, from the Minnesota side, so you see not the channel, but the if you want to call it the bottoms, upper bottoms, which has no trees or vegetation, where certain times of the year you can view snow geese, Canadian geese, and many different types of ducks. But I just wanted to just mention those places maybe that someone would be interested in checking out.
Oh, I appreciate it very much. Thanks, Ron, for calling. Appreciate it. We're getting some rolling blackouts in the La Crosse area.
Yes.
And that's probably why we keep losing our guests today.
Oh, that could be. It's like a lot of places. It's really humid and hot.
Yeah.
And
And it's a tough day to be outside, and I can tell you there's probably, if there's an air conditioner in Wisconsin, it's probably turned on.
Right? I'm sure there's a real demand on the grid today.
Thanks so much, Ron. Appreciate it very much for calling. And I'm sorry for those. I'm glad to know the reason. We've got those rolling blackouts, and so that's what's causing the problems with our guests today. And they're great guys, too. Reggie McLeod is editor and publisher of Big River Magazine. And actually, take a look at his website. The magazine's great. BigRiverMagazine.com. That's the place to go for his magazine to find out some more about Ed. And actually, he also has up the books that Dean Klinkenberg has put together, Travel Guide Driftless Area, along the Upper Mississippi River from Hastings, Minnesota to Lansing, Iowa. So another good book, and we probably have something up. I think we do have something up on our Facebook page about that, so you can go to the Facebook page and click in there. Thanks to them, and thank you very much for listening. Tomorrow, hey, we're going to take a look at the world of insects. How many fireflies are out there? There's billions of them this year. We have a lot of fun counting them. Phil Pelletieri joins us tomorrow here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.